those that serve in our church only do so by the work of the Holy Spirit in them. And so it doesn't make any sense to send them into that work without praying for them. And so that's what we're going to be doing in a few minutes here. But before we do that, I wanted to read just a little bit of Ephesians 4 as kind of a context for the ministries that we do. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16 say this: "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Lord, would you add your blessing to the reading of your word? I pray that you would speak your truth to us today, and I pray that you would prepare us to receive this commissioning in the name of Jesus. Amen. You ever heard the expression, you are what you eat? We ran out of puppy chow while we were in Michigan. And as I'm looking at this dry kibble, I had this revelation. Like, my dog is made out of puppy chow. Right? So, like, we got him when he was like that big. You know what we fed him since then? Puppy chow. And the only way he gets from this big is that he's made of puppy chow. So the question is, what is your body made of? It can only grow out of the things you put into it. So what have you been putting into your body? By the way, if you're like starting like a New Year's diet or something, that's something to ponder. But the Bible also describes us as the body of Christ. So what are we feeding the body of Christ? If you don't feed your own body the right balance of like proteins and minerals and vitamins, then you won't be able to build muscle. You won't be able to make blood or bones. Your body will start to break down. You'll become anemic. You'll get exhausted quickly, and you won't have the strength to do what your body was made to do. And the same is true of the body of Christ. Christ's body was not made to be a couch potato, just lacking the muscle to do work, or lacking the ligaments to hold together, or the bones to stand up under pressure. We are that body. What are we feeding it? And I don't want to go long today because I want to spend some time praying for the ministries of the church. But I just want to notice three things out of God's word this morning. First, that the body of Christ is dead without the head. Second, that every part of the body of Christ is made to work. And third, that we each have to keep growing so that the body can keep growing. So, again, the body of Christ is dead unless it's connected to the head. We know that's true of bodies. This passage is largely about what we're supposed to do, but it follows on the heels of three chapters about what Christ has done for us. So verse 1 says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received." That word "then" or "therefore" means that what he's about to tell us is based on what he's been telling us, namely, that we were dead in our sins until God made us alive in Christ. That we were strangers to God until Christ brought us near and made us part of his family. Jesus would not have died on the cross if you could have saved yourself in any way, the blood of Jesus, the death of God's Son, is an awfully high price to pay. He would not have paid it if we didn't need it. The Christian life is not one of doing your best to be a good person. It's one of relying on Christ to save you. So if you're still trying to be a good enough person to get to heaven, you need to stop. You're not a Christian yet. A Christian is a person who confesses that he or she is a sinner saved by the grace of God that was poured out at the cross of Calvary. It's after you've given up on your own goodness and learned to rely on Jesus to save you that you can then begin to live the kind of grace-filled, thankful life he calls you to. So verse 16 says, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. The body cannot grow unless it's connected to the head. A body without a head can't do anything. It's dead. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't breathe. There's no heartbeat. It just decomposes. Sorry to be graphic, but we got to get this straight. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Throw that verse up there. Did I put that verse on there? There you go. Okay, so what can you do without Jesus? Nothing. You hear him saying that? Say that with me. What can you do without Jesus? Nothing. What can a branch do apart from the vine? Shrivel up and die. What can a body do without a head? Nothing. The heart won't beat, the lungs won't breathe, the muscles will not move. Never lose sight of the truth that you were dead in your sins until Jesus died in your place and then rose to life again. It's his resurrection life that brings you to life spiritually. When you put your trust in him, it's his life in you. So trust in him. Talk to him. Live your days with him. And once you do, then you're part of his body. And that's when the activity really begins. You don't work to earn eternal life. But once you have received his life, then you begin to work. And every part of the body of Christ is made to work. Verse 16 again. From him, the whole body, joined together and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Every part of the body of Christ has work to do. Many churches function on the assumption that verses 11 and 12 say, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to do works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. But you notice the crucial phrase that leaves out, to prepare God's people for works of service. There's this church ministry principle called the 80-20 rule. I think this might be an organizational thing broadly, but the principle that like 20% of the people tend to do 80% of the work. That's not the way the Bible describes it. My job as a pastor and teacher, and if you're a teacher, if you're a Sunday school teacher, a small group leader, your job is to equip God's people for works of service. Now the translation for that is works of ministry. Every person in the body of Christ has a ministry, works of service that you are personally called and equipped to do. Now, what might that ministry be? Maybe like serve on your homeowners association for your neighborhood? Maybe. That could be part of it. But notice the result that verse 12 talks about. Equip God's people for works of ministry so that the body of Christ may be built up. And verse 16 says the same thing. The whole body grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. So yes, the church should definitely be involved in the community. We need to be serving the community, need to be showing the love of Christ, need to be seeking the lost. But we're also called to serve each other, to build each other up. So what is your ministry? How are you personally called to serve the body of Christ who is gathered right here? Here are some of the ministries that we have going that you might get involved with, but also I'm going to throw in a few that we don't have organized exactly, but maybe God will lay it on your heart. Youth group. And I'm leading youth group right now. If anybody else wants to take it over, I'm happy to talk to you. But I could really use somebody to help with games. Like if I had somebody like once a week to just plan half an hour of games for the youth group so that I can focus on just teaching the lesson, that would really help me out. So if anybody's interested, like, well, okay, I'm not going to teach, but I could plan games. Hey, this is your opportunity. Sunday school. You know, we're always having a hard time making sure all the quarters, all the classes are covered. I don't think it's because we're lacking people that are qualified. Maybe you just feel overloaded and you need somebody else to take something else off of your plate so you can teach. But also, like, if somebody's just good with, like, kid wrangling, like the lower elementary school tends to be a little rowdy, you might jump in and just kind of help the Sunday school teacher keep everybody positively engaged. Bible squad, that's the fourth and fifth grade group. Kids club, junior church, nursery. If you just like caring for kids, if you like playing with kids, hey, these are opportunities for you. Christian Women United does so much between funeral dinners for people in the community that have, the families that have lost somebody, writing cards, gift packages, doing fundraisers. If you're a woman, you qualify. They meet the last Tuesday of every month. Music, if you play an instrument, if you sing, by all means, you know, step up. You don't have to be the leader. You can just be a secondary person. You can just, you know, just get into the swing of things. Audio-visual tech. You know, if you just want to push the button that advances the slides, if you ever, like, listen to feedback in our audio and you think, well, I could fix that, please do. Building improvement. So, like, if you see something that's broken, if you see a light bulb that's out and you're just like, oh, well, I could do that. You want to just, like, call up the trustees, like, you know, Kane Snyder or Lance Kuntz or Jeff Rodifer, and just be like, hey, this light bulb's out. Do you mind if I replace it? They're not going to mind. Go ahead. Give them a call. Let's see, where were we? Greeters, right? And you say, we already have greeters. Yeah, but nobody said no to a second smiling face. Coffee, if you just want to kind of take over that coffee ministry, make sure the coffee maker's filled up with water and we have all the dishes and stuff set out on Sunday morning. Visitation, the deacons do that, but good grief. There's so many, especially some of the older ladies in the church that just, they don't get out so well anymore. They love visits. You don't have to be a deacon to go visit somebody. Men's ministry, that's something that's kind of evolving as we go. So if you're interested, jump on in. A one-to-one discipleship, just meeting with somebody and a Bible and just talking about life. Prayer, either individually or start planning prayer events, that'd be great. Small groups, and then starting to look outside the church a bit. Missionary support, community service, basketball. If you want to lead a basketball thing for kids in the community. Moreland Food Pantry, Hagar's Hope. Do I have that right, or is it Hagar's House?
Hagar's Hope. Right.
Okay, great. Those are a couple of things we do outside of the church. What's your ministry? What are you passionate about? What are you interested in? What are you good at? What gifts can you use to serve the body of Christ? As part of the body of Christ, what is your role in the body? Are you able to teach kids, care for people, welcome people, fix things, organize events? We could use all those gifts. You think, well, somebody's already doing that. I guarantee you they would appreciate help. And the good news is it's not like a lifelong career. If you want to jump in and try something this year and then you try something different next year, you know, we'd appreciate that too. You can serve a variety of ways at different times. And there's value in sticking with one thing long enough once you figure out what you like to do, what you're good at, so that you grow from your experience. But how do you know what you like to do or what you're good at unless you jump in and try it? And even if somebody does have it kind of taken care of right now, they're not going to do it forever. They picked it up from somebody before them. They can probably tell you who had the ministry before they did. And they need somebody right now to start coming along and learning how to do it so that next year or in 5 years or in 10 years, they can hand that off. It doesn't happen all at once. And so we each have to keep growing so we can help the body keep growing. Jesus gave the church leaders to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, does that sound like a lofty goal to you? Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Literally, it means something like, until we all become a mature man as tall as Jesus. If the metaphor is that we are Jesus's body, what kind of a body should he have? How tall of a body should Jesus have? Well, kind of Jesus tall, right? Jesus needs to have a full-grown body. Wouldn't it look creepy if you had like a full-grown person's head on a little baby's body? Ugh. That's not what Jesus wants for his body. So Paul says, don't be infants. Verse 14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So we don't want to be the kind of church that just believes any religious ideas the culture throws out about, hey, you can define God for yourself. You can define right and wrong for yourself. We don't want to be the kind of church that swallows everything Disney feeds us about following your heart. We want to be a church that knows what God's word says, that we can identify false ideas because we're so immersed in the truth. And that doesn't happen just by one seminary-trained preacher saying these things from a pulpit once a week. It happens when we're all speaking the truth to each other in love day in and day out. I'll never forget my first trip to Romania, and someone from a mission team was talking to our driver, the guy that drove the van for us, and she said, oh, Marian, you're such a good person. And he said, no, I'm not good, but I'm redeemed. I was like, yes, that guy's church is doing something right. I mean, this guy's not a Sunday school teacher. His ministry is just driving the van. But when the average, everyday Christian in the church can say things like, I'm not a good person that deserves eternal life, but God loved a sinner like me and redeemed me by the blood of Jesus, that's when the church is growing. That's when we're all becoming mature. It's not just the preacher saying it, it's the whole church saying these things to each other until we really believe it. Are you speaking the truth in love to others in this church? You won't be able to do that unless you're growing in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God for yourself. Now, some of you might end up going to seminary. You guys are weirdos, like me. But how do normal people grow in faith and knowledge? You read the Bible. You go to Sunday school, you sit down with another mature Christian, and you let them talk to you about their faith and let you share your faith with them. When you notice patterns in your life, habits that look more like the world than like Jesus, you repent. You say, I don't want to be like the world, I want to be like Jesus. When life is difficult, you find somebody to talk to about what Jesus has to do with all of this. You might think to yourself, well, I'm not really a mature Christian. I'll just do one of the kind of manual service things. But that's not an excuse not to become mature. The people that you go to church with, the people sitting next to you in the pew, the neighbors that don't go to church, they just have you. And especially if you have kids, your kids are depending on you to grow in maturity so that you can speak the truth in love, so that the whole church, the body of Christ, will grow and build itself up unto the stature of Christ. So we're going to take just a few minutes now to pray for each area of ministry. And I'm going to ask those in each area to stand one group at a time, and I'll offer them up to God this year to be used by his power and his plan. Now, I'm also aware, I think of things to pray for people. You guys think of other things to pray, and that's important. It's not the whole body of Christ if it's just me praying. And so after I pray, I'm just going to give you 30 seconds or so to add your prayers. You can pray silently. You can speak it out loud. But after I pray, I'm just going to leave a moment of silence there for you to add your prayers for each of the areas of ministry before we go on to the next one. So would you? Let's have the moderator and deacons stand up with me. You can pray for me too. So deacons, stand on up. Moderators, stand on up. Had a little bit of a change there, so that's exciting. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the Lord of this church. You're the head of the body. You give growth to the whole body. And we thank you for leaders that you've given the church, men of mature faith who are called to guide and equip the rest of the body. Give those of us who lead wisdom to make good decisions. Give us love for the people of the church. Give us close fellowship with you so that the Holy Spirit is leading us to lead the rest of the congregation. Can we have the trustees stand? Custodians, clerk, treasurer, all the financial people, finance secretary, finance committee. You guys go ahead and stand up, please. These are the people that help us take care of the material things God has given us. Generous God, make us sensible to the incredible resources you've given us as a church. Thank you for this building. Thank you for the ministry center. Thank you for the tithes and offerings that you've given each of us the ability to contribute. Thank you for responsible and faithful Christians to watch over these resources. Give them wisdom. Give them prudence in handling them, but also generosity to be used for your work, to glorify you, and to care for the people that you've put in our care. Can I have the Sunday school teachers, the Sunday school officers, youth group, Bible squad, kids club, junior church, nursery, and those that care for the youth or who teach a class? Spirit of truth, guide us into all truth. Thank you for appointing these teachers and coordinators to lay the truth of Scripture before us, before our kids. Give those who work with the children grace to love them well, lay a solid foundation of faith in Christ that can be built on for years. Give those who work with youth and adults grace to care for those under their instruction, to teach them faithfully according to your word. Can I have everyone who's a greeter, or a musician, or who works with the audiovisual, anybody that helps lead the Sunday service or coordinate, make the Sunday service happen? Lord, as you caused your Son to rise from the dead on the first day of the week, we still gather this first day of the week to remember the resurrection. Please take this service and glorify your name, glorify your Son through it. Thank you for all those that serve in our weekly worship. Give them humility and joy and hearts set on you as they serve, so that every person who comes into this service can be directed to you. And I have those that are involved with CWU, or benevolence, those who extend the care of our church beyond the walls and the community. Lord God Almighty, you are God over this community. You're God over all creation. There's no person who doesn't receive your love. Teach us also to love those beyond our church. Thank you for those who extend your care and the message of the gospel beyond our congregation through funeral dinners and care packages, through the missionaries that we support, through financial aid. Burden each person in these ministries with the salvation of the lost and compassion for those that are hurting. Fill them up with a heart of generosity and joy to take what you have given us to the people that you still want to reach. If you're able to stand, I'd like to have everyone stand at this point. Everyone who serves in the church, everyone who extends the ministry beyond the walls of the church, Christ's hands and feet in the world. Lord Jesus, we are your servants. We gather here in your name so that you can send us out again in your name. Send us into the ministries you have for us. As you've poured out your grace on us, help us to see the ways we can extend that grace to others. As we walk daily with you, empower us to encourage each other, build each other up by speaking the truth in love. Help us to love our neighbors well, to love our families and our co-workers, the patients and students we serve, the customers that we serve, even when they're difficult. May we be your presence. May we be your kingdom on earth through the words that we say, the work that we do, the love that we show. Build up this church to be used for your glory through Christ our Lord. Amen.